glad you're tuned in to today's episode of MarTech Unraveled. In this episode, we're unpacking the world of ad tech, what it is, how it differs from MarTech, and why it's a game changer in emerging markets. I'm joined today by Stan Martens, Managing Director for West Africa at Aleph, a global digital media sales powerhouse. We'll talk about the challenges, innovation, and the urgent need to close the digital skills gap in the media buying space. Welcome to the podcast, Stan.
Thank you, Fiona. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here and for our paths to cross again.
Yes. You and I share very, very similar backgrounds. And it's such a pleasure to be also be able to connect with you on your podcast. And congratulations on the launch of the podcast, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Stan. So first things first, why don't you tell us about yourself and your journey to where you are now as the MD for West Africa at Aleph?
Okay, so obviously my name is Stanislaus Martens. Everybody just calls me Stan. 20 plus years in marketing and communications and also technology. Mm-hmm. Started off on the agency side at Publicis, mm-hmm. worked at the biggest e-commerce platform in the continent, Jumia, where you and I crossed paths. Mm-hmm. Had a stint at Meta for about 3 years. Now I'm with an amazing company called Aleph as a managing director for West Africa operations. Mm-hmm. Again, managing director for Aleph, but also an entrepreneur at heart, a techhead at heart. Mm-hmm. I try to stay very fluid with what I do. I'm always inventing myself.
Absolutely. That's what I really enjoy, you know, talking to you about your journey and your different interests and looking forward to, you know, delving more into this conversation with you.
Absolutely.
So let's start from the beginning and let's start with some definitions. How do you distinguish between ad tech and martech? Many people use these terms interchangeably, but they're quite different.
Yeah, I'm not sure about definitions, but I'll try to explain as best as I can. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's been very. I think this has always been a point in the industry, and it's pretty much the same thing when you also talk about marketing and advertising as a whole. Mm-hmm. People tend to, even I do it at times, I make a mistake of saying marketing and say advertising, and everybody pretty much thinks it's synonymous, mm-hmm. Forgetting that marketing is actually the actual broad ecosystem, while advertising is just a subset. Mm-hmm. When you say martech and adtech, it's pretty much the same. MarTech is pretty much the big picture, the full ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So when you're saying marketing, MarTech, which is like a short for marketing tech, mm-hmm. it's pretty much all the tech that goes into all your planning, your execution, your managing, your measurement, pretty much everything to do with marketing. Mm-hmm. Then when you see ad tech, which is more advertising tech, you're getting a bit more specific and granular and focusing on the advertising bits, mm-hmm. of the whole marketing ecosystem. Mm-hmm. To give some examples, when you say MarTech now, like I said, everything tech related to your marketing journey. Mm-hmm. So that could be your CDP, for instance. As a matter of fact, I would argue that email, mm-hmm. is also part of your MarTech. Yeah. Your CRM system, which could be your Salesforce or whatever it is that you use on your side. And your analytics would all form part. I mean, pretty much every tool that you're using as a marketer, mm-hmm. That's technology driven, will fall under MarTech, and that will vary from company to company and industry to industry. Mm-hmm. On the tech side, on the ad tech side, you get a bit more specific. Now you're talking about more advertising, then you'd be talking about those technologies powering your buying, your selling. Your targeting of media, so this could be your DSPs, your SSPs, your, mm-hmm. programmatic platforms, your ad servers, mm-hmm. Even the likes of your I think it'd be fair to also say your business managers and your ad accounts and what have you, mm-hmm. all those who fall under ad tech. So the simple way to remember is that ad tech is just a subset
yep.
of the broader MarTech.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting, because I know, Aleph, it really is more concerned or more focused on the ad tech side and really is operating over 130 emerging markets. And I would be curious to hear more about, you know, what are some of the persistent challenges that advertisers are facing in these markets that Aleph is looking to resolve?
Okay, so one thing that a lot of people don't know about Aleph is we pretty much specialize in emerging markets.
Mm-hmm.
Markets where the big ad tech platforms normally would not want to, that might not consider as being viable in the immediate.
Mm-hmm.
We see opportunities in those markets and we pretty much try to represent them. Yeah. So what we do at Aleph is we're trying to make digital advertising accessible around the world,
mm-hmm.
not just in developing markets. And we're trying to see how we can drive growth using digital solutions for those emerging economies, whether it's in form of advertising and using technology.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at emerging markets, the challenges you find in emerging markets are pretty consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Digital maturity is always one.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as sophisticated when compared to emerging markets. And those are some of the skills, some of the areas that we try to plug.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, infrastructure, which could be payment related or even data related, also could be a big problem. Skills gap is also something that is always a challenge. While in developed markets,
mm-hmm.
You get access to some of the top advertisers and marketers in those markets, you find out that we have quite an outflux mm-hmm. of some of the most talented guys in the market. So skills gap is also something that we also try to work on and resolve.
Mm-hmm.
And in emerging markets, obviously, you have the fragmentation of languages and what have you as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
If I could quickly add as well, I think something else that's a bit prevalent in the emerging market would also be the fact over-reliance on the top of the funnel to a large extent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And not being too performance-oriented. But that is changing very, very quickly. But I would still say that is a challenging emerging markets.
Mm, okay. What do you mean, reliance on the top of the funnel? Maybe for those who, don't understand the terminology, maybe you can explain that a bit more.
Yeah. So when I say top of the funnel, I mean, you obviously have what we call in marketing the conversion funnel. And at the top, you have awareness. And at the very bottom, you have conversion. Mm-hmm. So as you move down that line, you're moving through the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say top of the funnel, I mean, awareness type campaigns that are just meant to educate you, make you aware of a particular information or service or product,
mm-hmm.
That doesn't really require you to take an action in the immediate. But at the bottom of the funnel, you have what you call the conversion campaigns, where you are more specific about your outcomes. You are more
Mm-hmm.
You want to drive an action. You mm-hmm. want people to install an app. You want people to download an app. You mm-hmm. want people to make a purchase, to fill a form.
Mm-hmm.
That's more conversion oriented. So when I say top of the funnel, I'm meaning awareness,
mm-hmm.
which are relatively easier because pretty much what you're trying to do there is just to raise awareness and you're running impression-based campaigns. But mm-hmm. at very, very bottom, you're getting more scientific and getting more rudimental. You're trying to drive people to take an action and you're optimizing for those actions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. And, you talked about the different challenges that advertisers face. There's an increasing pressure for advertisers to prove return on investment on, their ad spend and so on. So given the challenges you've just mentioned, you know, how can advertisers go about, you know, picking the right tools or overcoming these challenges in order to drive ROI?
Very good question. I think, again, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's everybody needs to access their particular environment and what they're trying to resolve.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would say very, very importantly is they need to measure everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't measure, you probably cannot improve on it. So when you're trying to drive ROI, you need to put measurement in place. And when I say put measurement in place, before you run your first campaign, before you run your first ad, you want to ensure you've done everything required to ensure that the kind of result you're seeing is actually accurate.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean? You need to fix your pixels. You need to set up your conversion APIs. I mean, for me, that's a very, very beginning. If you're marketing or an ad expert right now running campaigns,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have pixels or conversion API all set up, then you're probably doing it wrong. That's where I will start. You also want to be very, very clear about the KPIs,
mm-hmm.
what your goals are, and you want to be realistic about them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have KPIs, then what are you aiming for?
Mm-hmm.
So if ROI is something that is very, very important to you as a business, you want to set up your pixels, you want to set up your conversion APIs, you absolutely want to be very, very clear about what your KPIs will be, and you have to make them very, very realistic. And yes, even in the tools that you are using, you want to enforce some sort of integration
mm-hmm.
between all of them, the way that they speak to each other,
mm-hmm.
or else it's going to be reporting blindly. What do I mean by that? Your CRM, your analytics tool, which could be your Google Analytics, as well as your Google Ads platform, for instance, or your Meta business manager, should all be speaking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
If you be able to have that kind of setup implemented, then it makes it significantly easier for you to get more realistic results from your campaign.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are these things that your organization, Aleph, help advertisers do in terms of, you know, setting up, making sure they've set up the infrastructure in order to track, they set up their KPIs, and so on. Is this something that you help advertisers do?
Absolutely. So one thing I say is that Aleph doesn't operate as an agency.
Mm-hmm.
We operate more as an extension of these platforms in different markets where we represent them. And one of the mandates is to educate, to train the markets
mm-hmm.
on how best to use these tools. And we also work with them to also ensure that they are setting up properly and setting up their campaigns well and getting the kind of results. And when they're not getting the kind of results that they need to get, we're also with them to do some sort of post-mortem, so that when they run those campaigns again,
mm-hmm.
they can do better. Then again, from a training perspective, I mean, we do have, I mean, while all the partners also have their own freely available training solutions that brands can key into,
mm-hmm.
Aleph also has what we call the Digital Ad Experts, which is available at digitaladexpert.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you access to training from a lot of these our partners with one interface, and you get a certification once you completed it, and that's free.
Mm. Oh, okay. So it's free for anyone who wants to acquire those skills to just sign up and start training.
Absolutely, absolutely free. You go to digitaladexpert.com, mm-hmm. sign up for any of the courses.
Mm-hmm.
So at times you can get some sessions that might be that might require live classes. There's a lot of study at your own pace as well.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you're getting top quality, world-class training powered by Aleph for platforms like TikTok,
mm-hmm.
Spotify, Snapchat, Meta, Google, and the likes.
Okay. That's really good to know because, you know, you and I have been in this space for a while, you know, leading growth teams and so on. And one thing that I've seen, and you probably can echo it, is the gap in talent in terms of performance marketers. You know, what skills make for a stellar performance marketer for all those who are aspiring to be a performance marketer? And, you know, what really makes a great performance marketer?
Absolutely. And I think I spoke to that a bit earlier. So, I mean, I wasn't trained. I mean, that's it. And I will full confession, full disclosure here. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trained to be a growth marketer. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. My background was always on the creative side. And yes, I did run a couple of performance campaigns while I worked at Publicis. Mm-hmm. But when I joined Jumia as vice president of growth and performance, it was a different schedule of it was a totally different experience entirely. Yeah. I think I would credit all my knowledge of performance advertising to working at Jumia. And mm-hmm. if I could go back in time. Mm-hmm. And advise anybody getting into that role, mm-hmm. Some of the things I would say that you need to be a solid, solid performance marketer is, I mean, you can't run away from it. You need to have insane analytical abilities. Mm-hmm. You need to be very, you just have to be very, very careful with, comfortable with numbers. Mm-hmm. You need to be comfortable with dashboards. You need to be comfortable with tools like Google Analytics, for now. You need to be comfortable with Excel because pretty much as a performance person, you are diving into numbers, you're diving into data as much as possible. As a performance marketer, you can't really have a preference for a particular platform. Mm-hmm. Again, you need to have what I would call platform fluency. Mm. So you need to be able to know where Meta, where Google Ads, where TikTok fits into your playbook. Mm-hmm. You need to know where one works, where the other doesn't work. And you also need to also have, obviously we talked about this a bit. You need to have the technical basics as well, lockdown, mm-hmm. understanding the importance of pixels, understanding the attribution, and understanding APIs, mm-hmm. and how to set all these things up. Because again, the way you set up a lot of these things for a small business will be significantly different from how you set up for a brand like the one we managed at Jumia, which was like a big, big monster. Mm-hmm. So you need to have that mindset. You need to have the growth mindset as well. Mm-hmm. I think above all, if I was going to pick one key skill, mm-hmm. I would say a test and learn mindset. Because again, it's not rocket science and you're not going to get it all the time. Mm-hmm. And as a performance marketer, you need to understand that certain experiments that you will run will fail, but you need to learn mm-hmm. how to test and learn and test and continue iterating until you actually get what works for you.
Mm. Yeah. Nice. I like that. I think you've covered that very comprehensively. Now, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about, you know, the SME market. The stats are clear, you know, small businesses represent a huge employment force on the continent and also drive a lot of economic activity on the continent. You know, how can SMEs, you know, adopt performance advertising effectively? A lot of SMEs are, you know, just starting to understand, you know, getting online, having a digital presence and using organic tactics. You know, what's your take on how they can also leverage performance advertising and so on?
Yeah, so I work with quite a bit of, quite a number of SMEs here in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've noticed is a lot of them have, a lot of them that did not know about digital marketing, once they get into it and start to try and test, there's usually no going back for them. Mm-hmm. Because they see the significant impact on their business. For instance, let's use Nigeria as a case study. Mm-hmm. Nigeria has, I think, 36 states, and Lagos is pretty much the biggest state, not by size, but by economy.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants to come to Lagos to do business. You have access to the market here. There's the population. People have the buying power as well to also patronize you.
Mm-hmm.
You look at another state like Osun State,
mm-hmm.
which is a bit far from Lagos. People might not have that kind of disposable income in those markets,
mm-hmm.
in that particular state. But what digital advertising does to a small business in a state like Osun is that it actually opens you up to markets like Lagos and Abuja.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times I've gone online and randomly seen ads on Instagram, on TikTok, and I ended up purchasing products only to find out that those products are going to be shipped to me from far, 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 far away.
Mm-hmm.
So again, without digital, those small businesses would have only been exposed to potential buyers who might not be a lot in their local vicinity, but digital helps them to scale in a way that is very, very cost effective. So my advice to small businesses, that even the ones I work with, is start small.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to get very, very technical. Start by boosting your post and trying out some small money and seeing what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Boosting your posts is the very, very, very first step. And I see people that are boosting their posts and they're getting away with it and doing some good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that when we started digital marketing, don't forget that when we started, the idea was be very, very specific with your audience in terms of when you're defining your audience. Mm-hmm. Go very, very granular.
Mm.
But these days, with the advent of AI, it's easier for anybody to get into digital marketing. You don't need to get too complicated in making, being very specific about your audience. Once you define your product, AI mm-hmm. can pretty much go out in a very cost-effective way and find you the right audience in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get more sophisticated as a small business, you can start playing around with things like lookalike audiences,
mm-hmm.
getting guys to go to your website, getting guys to send you DMs. And when those guys send you DMs and those guys send you messages and they visit your website, you set up your system in such a way that you can automatically target those people. It's fantastic. It used to be very complicated to do all those things I said,
mm-hmm.
but these days it's really very, very easy. So yes, I would always advise small business to start small, just a simple boost here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they learn, they get more comfortable, then they can start to try more advanced strategies and see what works for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think also just, to reiterate, I think with any, paid marketing, it's always important to remember the aspect of test and learn. Because I think a lot of SMEs lose hope when they, try and boost an ad once and, it doesn't work. Then they're like, oh, this thing doesn't work. But the same principles that a, big organization with a performance marketing team, take in terms of A/B testing and so on should also be the same, mindset that an SME should adopt, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, obviously the budget is more limited,
mm-hmm.
but then again, it also depends on the kind of product that you're pushing. I mean, small businesses that push products like fashion and quick meals,
mm-hmm.
things like that typically do very, very well here in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And services also do very, very well. But yes, the absolute best way to go about it is test and learn,
mm-hmm.
different strategies, and ultimately you'll be able to pick the one that works for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You talked about, Aleph being very focused on the emerging markets. I think maybe we touched on this a little bit, but, what are some of the, are you finding any gaps in knowledge in terms of like when you are, working with businesses on the continent, trying to get them to adopt, running ads on these platforms? Are there any gaps in knowledge you've seen, or are you're finding businesses are more and more willing to have the conversation and willing to put aside maybe a test budget?
Yeah, so knowledge-wise, I think performance was always, it's something that is not so widespread.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting better by education. But again, another area I would also speak to is our over dependence on what we call traditional advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if we can still call it traditional advertising, but our over dependence on that. You find out that till today,
mm-hmm.
While the digital budget continues to grow
mm-hmm.
as part of the media budget in more developed markets.
Mm-hmm.
In Africa and in countries like Nigeria, that's not happening so much. 1 year you've seen some growth in digital spend.
Mm-hmm.
The very next year you see that that growth has been eroded. I mean, the economy is tough and what have you.
Mm-hmm. But
what I find out is that a significant amount of budget
mm-hmm.
is still going to traditional channels like the TVs. The radios, the out of homes, and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bad. That's nothing that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
What we are working on is just also change mindsets to ensure that when you're planning for your campaigns in emerging markets and in other markets globally, as a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
you focus on the customer first and not on the platform first.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you trying to reach and how do they consume media? So if your target audience are spending all their time staring at billboards or watching TVs, then it absolutely makes sense.
Mm.
But if you know you're speaking to guys 25 or 30 and below, mm. and you know they spend all their time on mobile phone and social media and things like that,
mm.
then you need to plan that way as well. So one of the changes we're trying to implement is that kind of media planning change where brands and advertisers are focused on the consumer, I mean the customer, mm-hmm. the end user, and planning the media across that person's touch points.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, if he wakes up in the morning and he's checking LinkedIn, like someone told me this just a couple of hours ago,
mm-hmm.
when she wakes up in the morning, the first thing she checks is LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
I found that very strange, but then again, if you do your research and define your persona, you find out that that might actually be the case.
Mm.
So there's a massive, as an example, there's a billboard in Lagos that just recently went up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one of the biggest billboards in the world. Very exciting. I love to see it. I love to drive past that billboard.
Mm-hmm.
Assumption is pretty much everybody in Lagos would have seen this billboard
mm-hmm.
and would have seen this campaign that is running.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was speaking to my team about it last week,
mm-hmm.
I realized that I have a couple of teammates who don't live on that side of Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
So they've never seen that billboard, even though it's so massive. I mean, it's a novel billboard. Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But when I spoke to them about the campaign that was on, they'd never heard about that campaign.
Mm.
So what that means is, again, this person I was speaking to is your target audience,
mm-hmm.
but he has not been exposed to that billboard, so he has lost out on that message. So what I always advise is brands should focus more on the consumers they are trying to reach, the customers they're trying to reach, and make sure you are planning your media fit their own movement, their own habits, their own media consumption.
Yeah.
So if it's going to be on TV, fine. Let them, you know, the kind of program that they watch at each particular time. If it's going to be on audio, and I say audio intentionally, I don't say radio,
mm-hmm.
because now guys are still doing what you call radio planning.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that that has actually changed and moved on to what we now call audio planning.
Mm-hmm.
People are consuming audio, mm-hmm. but now they are consuming it on audio channels. YouTube is an audio channel. Spotify is an audio channel. You don't do it, it's an audio channel. So media planners, digital media professionals all need to be abreast of this change.
Mm, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, the channels have changed, the way people consume media. It's no longer linear. You know, you can't be thinking about, you know, the usual programming on TV or radio. People are on podcasts, are on, you know, YouTube. It's so fragmented. So I
100%. I do not remember the last time. I don't like to put myself in the place of a consumer or a customer, for instance, but I do not remember the last time
mm-hmm.
that I sat down to watch terrestrial TV.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember. I consume all my media on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on my phone, on my tablet, on my laptop. Mm-hmm. I'm consuming it on my smart TV at home. Mm. We don't have an internet at home. I no longer subscribe to cable TV. Mm. So if I am your target audience and you're still trying to reach me with those channels, then you would not be reaching me at all.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So the consumer first, figure out your consumer, then you can figure out the platforms.
100%.
Okay. Now, looking ahead, what innovations in ad tech or MarTech do you think will most benefit emerging markets in the next 3 to 5 years?
So I was hoping I would not say this word.
Let me guess which one.
I was hoping I would not say this word, but I wanted to see how long we could go on without mentioning the word AI.
AI? Yes.
There it is. Yeah. Mm. AI is here to stay, and it's already here. I mean, we've had it for a while. Mm-hmm. We've had it for a couple of years now. I mean, even while we're at Jumia, we did play with quite a bit of things, AI, with the recommendation engine and what have you.
Mm, absolutely.
But now it's so widespread now that you can't run away from it.
Yeah.
Innovation-wise, I mean, there are going to be a lot of things. There's a lot happening from the payment side in emerging markets to make it easier for us to pay, for advertisers to pay, for small businesses to pay for solutions online. Mm-hmm. Privacy, obviously, privacy friendly tracking is going to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. It used to be a thing, you say, oh, this happens in Europe and happens in more developed markets, but in Nigeria, it's now a big, big deal, and some of the biggest platforms have been clamped down on with heavy fines for breaching some of our data privacy laws here in Nigeria. So privacy is also going to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. Attribution is going to be a big deal. As people get more involved in performance marketing, attribution that links online to offline is, I think that's one of the sweet spots that we'll have to find. Mm-hmm. But all that said, I think the simple biggest innovation that we're going to see around digital marketing or performance marketing, as we'll call it now, is going to be AI. Mm-hmm. AI is a major paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. And what it has done is it has made it easier for small businesses with smaller budgets to get into advertising. Now, depending on the kind of campaigns you want to run, you can develop your visuals with the aid of AI without paying anybody to do it as small businesses. You can develop your content in terms of copy. As a matter of fact, if you go on Instagram now, pretty much almost all the comments you see now, almost all the captions now, they all look like they're AI generated. Mm-hmm. Those are some things that AI is making easier for small businesses. Mm-hmm. I mean, the different platforms like Performance Max and Advantage Plus are all very sophisticated AI-powered media buying solutions that are inbuilt into some of the tools that are available to you to use for free that will not only that goes out and helps you optimize your campaign. So in the past where you would have needed a I think AI pretty much drops the skill sets for small businesses now to get into digital marketing, because all the way from ideation to reporting, AI can actually play a part in it in such a way that it helps make your life a whole lot easier.
Just on the payment side, that was an interesting point that you mentioned. Maybe just tell us a bit more about what you mean around the evolution on the payment side.
Yeah, I mean, the innovations around payments is majorly happening in Africa, as you are well aware. Mm-hmm. And even the developed markets are coming here for inspiration on what will work. Mm-hmm. Some of the biggest platforms on the continent, some of the biggest companies on the continent, startups on the continent, are fintechs. Mm-hmm. The likes of your Flutterwave and Paystack and Cheaper Cash and you name it.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest innovations are coming from a lot of those startups.
Mm-hmm.
Recently in Nigeria, using Nigeria as an example because this is where I'm based, the federal government made it impossible for us to make payments with our cards,
mm-hmm.
our local MasterCards and local Visa cards. We
mm-hmm.
we couldn't make payments, international payments online anymore,
mm-hmm.
meaning to run your ads on Google and Meta in the past where you could just bring out your card and just pay.
Mm-hmm.
That was no longer possible
mm-hmm.
for some restrictions put on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it became very, very frustrating. Small businesses were significantly impacted.
Yep.
And it actually had a toll on their revenue as well, because if you can't advertise, you can't bring in the money. The bigger businesses were able to navigate that.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of new startups that just sprung up from nowhere in a matter of months,
mm-hmm.
and started to offer virtual cards where you could just load in your Naira and convert to US dollars for you. And instantly, that became a totally different sub.
Mm-hmm.
So a different solution. Yeah.
Yeah.
And instantly, small businesses now could get these cards, get these apps within a matter of a day or 2 days, and you're online.
Yeah.
You're running your campaigns and able to pay for your ads and what have you.
Mm.
And I think in the very near future, tech companies like MTN,
mm-hmm.
and even the Airtels of this world will get in a way where you probably will be able to pay for some of these services even using your airtime.
Mm.
I think that's going to happen. Mm. I know for a fact that WhatsApp is doing a lot of innovation in that regard. So
mm-hmm.
messaging payments is something that's going to be very, very big in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Messaging apps, WhatsApp in Africa probably has one of the biggest penetrations. And I see a lot of fintechs already innovating around
mm-hmm.
payment solutions, banking, transfers, using just WhatsApp and SMS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think in that regard, for payment, that's where you see some of those innovations coming in that space.
Mm, right. Okay. Absolutely. That makes sense. Because, the ability to pay in local currency for these ad platforms is a game changer for the continent, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, click to WhatsApp for me is booming in Africa,
mm-hmm.
and it's only get better. Now you can run ads and click, and mm-hmm. you're on WhatsApp and you're chatting with the vendor directly in some cases,
mm-hmm.
and you're able to convert right there and there and move on. I think it's getting more exciting.
Mm. Yeah, we'll watch this space, and I'm sure we'll come back to this conversation maybe in a year or so, and you know, we can revisit and see what has changed.
Absolutely.
Any last words that you wanted to share on the topic before we close this episode?
I mean, I think we covered pretty much everything. Martech, Artech are super vital.
Mm-hmm.
for your marketing activities. So you just have to ensure you are getting something that is fit for your particular industry.
Mm-hmm.
If you run a business, manage a team, you want to also invest in the skills. You want to ensure you have data, because at the end of the day, without data,
mm-hmm.
a lot of this is not possible. And you also want to get the right tools. That's it. Thank you very, very much, Fiona, for the opportunity to chat with you today.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure, Stan. We've really unpacked the nuances between ad tech and martech, and we've examined the gaps and the opportunities in digital skilling, and explored how brands can run smarter, more contextual ads in emerging markets. Thank you again, Stan. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who's navigating the digital media space. Till next time, we'll see you again.